The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 277. I tell you, still feels like episode one with all the goddamn technical garbage happening in this room. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Powerhouse, a.k.a. Ryan Clements, a.k.a. Okay. Oh,
jeez. Oh, man. Is that a Jawa?
Now give me a Yipcha.
Yipcha.
All right. Next to him, the Dark Knight of News. Come on.
You usually say my name after that part.
Andrew Goldfarb.
That's me. My mic works. Sorry, everyone.
And the pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty.
Beyond.
How you guys doing?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Not bad.
Good. It's a little bit of a later show today.
It's early. Early if you count it.
It's about 20 Monday. Hours early.
Monday. We're recording on a Monday. Tuesday, so no one's any the wiser.
Yeah, you ruined the illusion.
Well, we're all big on the illusion here.
When there's a mistake and it's like, hey, so anyway, got...
And we're back.
And we're back.
Whenever we break an embargo. Goldfarb, what's the most interesting thing you've written today?
Probably the Crytek thing, but that'll be in the Roper report.
ladies and gentlemen, Podcast news. Beyond is IGN's PlayStation podcast. It's also the number one PlayStation podcast on that internet. Thanks for your support. Let's jump right into it. What is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
Can't do it.
Nope.
Sorry,
that's it. State of affairs.
Can't do it. I can't. Hey, look at your watch. I can't do it.
7 items on the list this week.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Number 1, Superbot Entertainment, the developer behind PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, has been hit by layoffs. In a statement, Sony confirmed that they made, quote, a reduction in Superbot's workforce, end quote, and that the studio and Sony remain committed to post-launch DLC for the game. Our best wishes go out to all those affected by the layoffs.
Ryan S. writes into Beyond at IGN.com, just like you can, to be part of the show. He's from Buffalo, New York, by the way. This is Ryan S. from Buffalo, New York.
Lake Effect Snow.
Similar to Ryan C. from Buffalo, New York.
Very true.
Or Powerhouse. Hey, guys. The recent announcement of layoffs at Superbot got me thinking. Could this just be them making room for those that just got hired? Remember, we had a story a while back about Superbot maybe hiring for a PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale 2. Also, is this becoming an industry trend? Should those in the gaming industry expect to stay with the studio only as long as a game is in development? Lately, it seems that once a game is released, the studio makes cuts. Should those studios just hire temporarily? Thanks, Beyond, Ryan S. Well, Ryan, I don't think people got hired and they're firing in the same sense. It's not one or the other, right?
It's not in the same breath.
Not making room for them.
They also still have job listings on their site. Like, I mean, we asked Sony if those were still valid, but they never got back to us.
And then he talks about, you know, is this a new thing? This has been a thing for a long time. I think it's just one of those things. Now things are with Twitter and social media, you know, you got the Instagrams, you got your touting, you got all these other things. People are just all over the place.
What is that?
It's touting? This thing that's dead now. Remember tout?
There's Vine.
Yeah, Vine just killed
it. We used it at E3. We used tout at E3 a little bit.
We did, yeah, and WWE tried something, but that's a separate story. No, this has been happening for a long, long time. You have this you're basically, when you're in production, you're ramping up. You go from pre-production to production, you ramp up and get all these people. And then once the game's released, it becomes this, well, now we're going to wind down until we figure out what nowadays, post-content, what's going to happen with the next game. Is there going to be a sequel? Stuff like that. What the next project is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So while it sucks, I think you know, you talk about, is it new to people? I think people expect it in a way, right? It seems like that way to me. If I was working at a studio now, I would totally expect our game ship. Now we'll see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, I remember it famously happened, famously for me, obviously, for DC Universe Online. A whole bunch of people got let go, and then they kept the people basically on to make sure everything was running and put out more DLC, work on their DLC. But since it wasn't, they were ramping up to a giant launch. They had time to go.
Yep. Yeah, and I don't think that they were ever clear about the nature of the jobs that they let go. I know that Superbot exploded in size in the last year of development, and that these people were probably brought on to make sure the game was done in time, and that these might have been inherently temp jobs. Anyway, we don't know the nature,
right?
In other words, of if their contracts were up or what happened. Sony basically just said that they made a reduction in their workforce.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly. We don't know, number one, the extent of the layoffs, and number two, don't forget that Superbot was literally built for this game. Mm-hmm. So now that this game is shipped, you know, if they have projects that are smaller in scope in mind for the future, or there are any number of reasons why they might have reduced the workforce.
Indeed, and I still think we're going to get a sequel. And
oh yeah,
and totally. I think that the studio is going to do it. So,
but even that, let's say I would imagine it's PlayStation 4, right? PlayStation mm-hmm. 4 launches this fall. You figure most games are on a 2-year cycle, so you figure they're going to support it probably for the next year with DLC. Be working
the first one.
Yeah, I'm sorry, for the first one. So you have people are actively mm-hmm. making those characters, stages, whatever, what have you. But in that background, then you're on pre-production on the game. So you don't need that giant staff. You're not working on this new infrastructure yet for Orbis or whatever.
Right.
You're basically kicking around your ideas, figuring out what's going on, take community feedback, stuff like that. So you have a small team making content, you know, on a character-by-character basis and then worrying about the rest.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks in a sense, but I mean, this is the nature of business in a way, especially with a studio that just started. They have no back catalog. They have no clout, really. They have no tout. That's right. And so,
I ain't got no tout videos.
And as a second party, that's totally Sony funded. Sony's not going to just I assume keep people around that aren't needed. Maybe they'll be hired back. I'm sure that, you know, a lot of talented people did work at that studio, and so, you know, hopefully they'll find work soon and stuff like that. But unfortunately, like you said, this is the nature of game development. It has been, you know, for as long as I can remember. I mean, for studios that don't have a lot of funding or backing or aren't owned by a, you know, by a first party, as it were. Mm. And even those studios suffer.
Yeah. So. I think people are probably, it sucks to say, but I think you'd be used to it. You know what I mean? Unless you're a higher up, you're in one of these like clutch positions that can't go anywhere. I think you know it can happen. And I don't know. I'd like to believe people know it's coming in a way. Like you look at Starhawk, right? When Dylan Joe had a tweet that that there was going to be layoffs at Lightbox Interactive. You know, he gave his people a heads up. And I would imagine even before that, there had to have been talk of like, well, we're going to work on these like mobile games or these smaller games. We're going to be doing something different here. We don't need the giant console staff.
Yeah. And I think as you become, a studio that puts out a lot of AAA games, and when's the last time we ever heard anything about Naughty Dog reducing their workforce or whatever? Right. You know, it's like
And they're a good example that they have two teams going at all times.
Right. And they're constantly being ripped up, like from one project to the next, you assume, and going back and forth.
It's weird. They all just got fired, though.
That's what we just heard earlier this afternoon.
That's terrible. But I think that you have to get to that level,
true.
You know, just like with 343 or studios that make huge games, like you get to that level where hopefully, like, you always have the next thing. Bungie or the guys that make, you know, all the studios that work on Call of Duty, like, you don't hear about reductions in those guys' staff because they have the next thing all the time. And so I really have no doubt that, you know, we don't know anything, but I really have no doubt that Superbot's not going to work. You know, they're going to work on a sequel.
Great band, by the way, that No Doubt.
Yeah, Tragic Kingdom was
contributing a lot today, Clint.
Their beginning was really good.
More than you, buddy.
Number two.
Oh, fight. Fight. We're a video podcast.
Number two. If you want a playable demo for The Last of Us, you won't be waiting very long. Sony's confirmed that God of War Ascension, which launches on March 12th in the States, March 13th in Europe, and March 14th in Australia, will come packed with a playable demo for the game. The Last of Us is due out in early May exclusively on PlayStation 3.
Exclusive.
Speaking of Naughty Dog. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
We haven't even played it yet.
Nope. Hope that changes soon.
Me too.
Do you think this is going to be...
Why can't we record the show on Tuesday?
We're traveling.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder where I'm going.
We're
going to separate places and then we're meeting up. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're flying to a different place than I'm flying to.
We're flying to the same place.
Yeah.
But I'm going to...
You're staying at a different place.
Yeah, we're going to different... We're doing different things, and then we're going to be doing the same thing, and then you're going to be doing something, and I'm not going to be doing something.
We are a married couple that's been married 60 years.
You guys are covert. Let me tell you what. It's mission impossible.
Seeing a lot of stuff.
I tease what I was doing. Well, very vaguely tease what I'm doing, but I'll have some cool stories to tell when I get back.
I'm going
to
disavow any knowledge of your actions.
Okay.
When you guys
leave.
You guys...
back to these Fat SingStar exclusives. We'll see who's laughing.
I'll be laughing. Do you think this Last of Us demo is going to be the same as the E3 demo?
Probably.
But playable?
Yeah.
I don't think it will be.
Yeah. You think something different?
I think it'll be different. I think that whenever we don't know if we're going to get to play the game, you know, anytime sooner, but I assume that when we, the first thing we get to play is this going to be the same thing on the demo. But I don't think that that's going to be the same as what we've already seen. If that is, that sucks.
I mean,
because that
single,
is all we've seen.
I don't think it sucks. Yeah, exactly. I would prefer that. Like, I don't really want to see anything else.
I think it will be, because usually what you see in these single player demos when they finally put them out are things that have already been shown to the public. And I think it'll be that because it's already known. Yeah, this is a whole game about the unknown. So, in the, like, not to mention there's stuff different to do in there, right? You saw the E3 demo, which went real fast. Then there's that 15 minute extended demo. I'm sure there's more stuff to screw around and go poke around and figure out.
I'm excited, regardless.
Me too.
Irregardless.
What if that game's just garbage?
That would be funny.
It'd be sad.
It would bookend the PS3's life cycle perfectly. You start with Lair, yeah, another Lair. Like,
but I mean, like, it's almost one of those things where, is that even really possible? You know what I mean?
I totally think it is. I think it is so incredibly unlikely.
Yeah.
That it happening would be a real shock.
That would destroy that studio if this game was.
I mean, like any creative work, even the most talented people have ups and downs, and especially an ambitious project can go wrong.
And it's funny you say that too, because this studio has never had a down. So, like, when is except for maybe Jack Team Racing or whatever, which is still considered a good game, right? So it's like when is this? When are these? Or Jack X Racing it was called, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Just mathematically, it would have to happen at some point, but maybe not.
It's one of those things where I agree with Clements. I think it's possible. I think it's unlikely. You know what I mean? They have such a good studio put together. They have such great minds working on it. But I've been burned before. I remember when I was like, wait a second. You're telling me the guy who made X-Men 2 is going to make a Superman movie based on the Christopher Reeve? There's no way this can be bad.
The thing is with Naughty Dog, I think it wouldn't... I don't think on a new IP is when you find that mathematical moment. Like, to me, if they made an Uncharted 4, I can see it just finally being the one where we're like, all right, Jesus Christ. Like,
and I've had enough.
Yeah, I think, I'm not saying
that. I don't think it would happen on a new IP.
I'm not saying that's not possible with the minds of that studio. I think, I'm just saying it's like, would Sony let their flagship studio that is like, basically does whatever it
wants.
All right.
Wait, would they let them fail?
Yeah.
Let's look at Team Ico. Remember when you were first seeing things of The Last Guardian? They're just releasing like screenshots of a giant chain going down a hole. People were like, they've made two games that are like these masterpieces. It's gonna be great, and then it turns out it's just this colossal burrito of shit.
That's a good point. You win.
A burrito?
Just saying it's possible. Yeah.
Nice. I like that analogy.
That's what they eat over there.
Burritos filled with feces in Japan.
Well, no, I just meant burritos in general. I don't have to. All right, let's see what else we have.
Number three, Quantic Dream has registered the domain name singularitypsfour.com. This goes in line with previous domain registrations made by the company, including HeavyRainPS3.com and BeyondPS3.com.
Yeah.
Not only does this seem to confirm earlier rumors that Quantic Dream was working on two separate PlayStation exclusives, one being Beyond Two Souls, the other unknown, but that the next-gen PlayStation may indeed be called PlayStation 4 after all.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you.
Using those predictions early.
Fucking left and right. Anyway, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think
that
the singularity... We talked... Andrew and I talked about this in a PlayStation conversation, which you can watch on IGN or YouTube. And I think that singularity is going to have something to do with that Kara demo. Based on the influence of... The Singularity is Near, the book called The Singularity is Near, which they were very vocal about influencing Kara.
That was a great theory. Like, I never even put those two things together, but I think, and I know you talked about in that PlayStation conversation, the fact that we had, before Heavy Rain, we had a little short that became the real thing.
Yeah, Casting Call. So I think it's very possible that the themes touched on in Kara might see their way into a next-gen game, but we'll see.
Hmm. I think that game, yes, will be like science fiction based in the world of Kara, but not... And Kara may be a side character.
Right. Yeah.
That's
some theme. Thematically.
I love that idea. That sounds amazing.
I'm trying to open it before we switch topics.
Greg has the game, and it's on his iPhone.
No, I wanted to pass along condolences to Quantic Dream for losing their composer.
Oh, yeah, that was next on the list.
I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
Number four, speaking of Quantic Dream, some sad news. Norman Corbeil, the Quebecois composer behind the soundtrack for both Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, has passed away at the age of 56. He died after battling pancreatic cancer. Our thoughts go out to his family and friends. Very talented. Heavy Rain won awards for its audio.
And 56 is young, man.
Yes.
It sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. And they confirmed on their website that he did indeed pass, whatever. I was wondering because I had read it on another website. NeoGAF was talking about it, some other websites, but I didn't see anything on Quantic Dream's website until today, and they did confirm that it happened, so that is very sad. And I'm not sure – he is working on Beyond Two Souls. I'm not sure if he's done with it or not. So I don't know what the story is with that as well. But I'm sure we're going to see a dedicated two or something in the game.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll throw my hat in the ring if you want and finish the soundtrack.
I don't know if that's the best idea. Think so?
We could. I'll patch it together with some Taylor
Judging
Swift.
Judging how you hear music, as we demonstrated earlier in the show.
What are you talking about?
Remember, before we started recording.
Give me a song. I'll replicate it perfectly.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
The song that we were just listening to off my phone, that hip-hop song. Just do the beat.
Oh, well, I can't forget that one. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
How about Taylor Swift's latest single?
Here's one for you.
If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe you would understand.
What?
No, see, this is how I know you're not a musician. We talked about this before because I remember David and I got really mad at you once because you were singing and you like just jumped to the next lyric. It's like you gotta let it play, like. You know, you got to let it go.
I don't want to leave dead air on the podcast. Yeah.
If you want to see more of Greg and I singing, you can go to YouTube and find that.
There you go.
We sing Filter and
something else.
John Mayer.
There's the one.
Number five. There are problems with Ni No Kuni, but not with the game itself.
What?
It appears that many people who pre-ordered the game through Namco's website won't end up getting the Wizards Edition. They were overloaded by pre-orders and won't be making more units to meet demand. Much of the problem seems to have come from Namco's e-commerce partner and not Namco itself. Those affected should be getting $20 in Namco credits and a free strategy guide for the game.
Okay.
This is an interesting thing that an eBay seller in Canada apparently pre-ordered like hundreds of copies of it. Mm. And then jacked the price up and is selling them. And Namco had to disavow that they did this legally and all these kinds of things. And interestingly, a friend of mine got in touch with me today, and I'm still kind of feeling out what the story is with this, but this is kind of a breaking issue. Ni No Kuni's download, Ni No Kuni's like 21 gigabytes, and apparently the download is almost twice that big because it's like some sort of zip file or something like that. And so I have a friend of ours, Sin, who tried to download the game, and he has a 40 gig. He wiped everything, like basically formatted the PS3 and still cannot download the game, nor can he get a refund for the game.
Mm.
So anyone with old 20 and 40 gig fat PS3s out there are going to be shit out of luck with this game, I think. So I reached out to Namco, and they told me that it's really not their thing. It's the way Sony deals with, I guess, big downloads or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I have to reach out to Sony and see what the resolution is.
Why would a zip file be bigger than the source file?
I don't know. It's not literally a zip file.
Why would you redesign your store to run worse than when it was originally
so
designed?
It's actually not that I know anything about anything, but...
Comes an expert opinion on this information.
On the iPhone, if you're downloading like a 3-gig app and you have 5.8 gigs open on your phone, it won't let you download it. Like, it makes you have twice as much room as the actual thing. So it might be something like that.
Yeah, it's something similar. I mean, Sin described to me as some sort of, like, zip utility. I don't know. But, Clint is right. It doesn't really make any sense. But it's not, like, literally WinZip or something like that.
Gotcha.
I just want to make it clear that I pre-ordered the Wizards Edition from Namco through Digital River, did the whole thing, got mine, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an order of operations thing because, you know... when I reviewed Ni No Kuni and gave it a glowing review because it's a fantastic game, it seemed to have spiked the sales of the game on Amazon and other places. It was the best-selling game on Amazon. I think it was sold out on Amazon.
Yeah.
So I think that people started pre-ordering from this e-commerce, Digital River or whatever, this e-commerce store, and they just never cut it off. Gotcha. So like they just, I think so it was probably the order in which you submitted your order.
Yeah, I mean, mine was in for months
that
ago.
That happened. But,
Goldie.
Yeah.
Did you decide? Are you opening yours or are you going to sell it?
I was thinking about selling it. I think I'm just going to open it.
Come on. You're never going to use any of that wizard
stuff.
That's
the thing. Everyone in the office is trying to convince me to sell my copy because it's going for like $500 on eBay.
Yeah, but my theory is if you got it like that, you know, you paid for it yourself, you can do whatever you want with it. You can sell it now or you can hold it and sell it later and it's going to be worth a lot more than $500. So
I'm probably going to keep it. I'm almost definitely going to keep it because I want to play the game and I know I'm going
to
fall in love with the game.
No other way to get the game.
Want the little drippy... plush and the wizard the book in there.
You can't
buy
plushies anymore, man.
Well, it's going to be great to leave on your desk for 6 months and then give away at a first Friday.
That will happen. The book in there is what I really want. The wizard's book.
It's really cool.
It's on my desk from 6 months ago that you could just have.
No.
I mean, $500 is a lot of money you can make.
Yeah.
But
especially the way he spends money.
Yeah, but my theory is if he's a smart investor, he holds it and sells it later. If it's worth $500 now, it's going to be worth a lot more than that later.
That's what I said about the Superman comic I have in a bagged comic.
Means in Japanese.
Really? It went the other way.
Oh, this one's
translated.
But still, but
real. Oh, like the whole market went bust.
Yeah. Nobody wants it. Hey, before we jump topics away from Ni No Kuni, Christopher writes into Beyond, at IGN.com, just like you can, listener and viewer. And he says, just curious if Colin has read other reviews for Ni No Kuni. 1UP.com had a very negative review of the game, which would think the two reviewers played different games. I understand the reviews are personal opinions, but it's strange to see two people view a game so differently. Keep up the good work. Listening to you guys makes travel easier, Christopher. You read the other reviews?
I looked at some other reviews, yeah.
For the people who didn't like... Well, I haven't read the other ones. I only actually go to IGN and then scroll to the score. I don't read anything. But if I would have read them, were the other complaints from other reviews, did you find any water to them? Did they hold their water?
Not really, not to me. I mean, I think a lot of the problems had... The two reviews in particular that I read seemed to have problems with the game mechanically in terms of grinding, in terms of... A lot of people were complaining that the game's too hard. Like, I don't think the game's hard at all. Like, I think that there are some spots of the game that like might frustrate you, but if you play the game like you are supposed to play at JRPGs, in my opinion, which is like to not avoid fights... You know, to look for fights so you don't have to grind later.
Sure.
That's the way I've always played JRPGs. Sure. And so,
yep.
I haven't, in that respect, I haven't, you know, so like people complaining about the grinding and all that stuff, like that wasn't a problem for me. Like it's not like Dragon Quest, where you have to grind. You know, I really didn't look at it like that personally. But
I think Bob's complaint, and Bob was the one that reviewed it for 1UP, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. One of his complaints was just that it's a slow start, and I haven't played it yet, but he said that it's like it's several hours and you're still not even like fully opened up into what you can do in the game.
But I think,
which I'm actually okay with.
Yeah, me too. And that in the respect that it does it in Ni No Kuni, I mean, he's right in the sense that you don't get deep into the game mechanically. Like you have a menu with I guess 9 different things on it and you don't get all of them until you're hours and hours into the game. Mm-hmm. So like that to me represents when you have like a fully fleshed out game that you can then explore, and that's true. But the game is so acutely emotional in the beginning and sets such an awesome cadence and is so deep in terms of what it makes you feel that like I think you can excuse it for that game. You're not playing this game for action. Like at least I wasn't. With that said, like I've been, you know, I looked at the Metacritic. It's 86. I gave it a 94. And there are no negative reviews and only 3 mediocre reviews and something like 30 something positive reviews. So, I think that.
So you're paid off.
Yeah. Yeah.
When your wizard Ni No Kuni has.
No, so I think many more people are finding the game to be very good than not.
Right.
But I've been an outlier before. The most famous, I guess, was, El Shaddai, which I like thought that game was like, what is this game?
Ascension of the Metatron.
Yeah. I was like, this game is like,
what a great name.
This game, I don't know. I don't know about this name. Game, but I was the outlier. And so I think that, you know, people's opinions just don't jive every once in a while. And that's okay.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not right and others aren't wrong or vice versa. You know, it's like, whatever.
You also, by describing the Metacritic breakdown, described it pretty well, which is that like, even if it's not a 94, people are really positive on it. You know, so it's like, even if it's not like, as amazing as you thought it was, like I think it's worth your $60.
Yeah, I think folks are getting 100 and 95 and stuff like that. So I mean, there are people out there that really love it. I stand by my conclusion, having you know, being really into the PlayStation ecosystem, that it is really one of the finest PS3 exclusives.
I mean,
and that I highly recommend it to people that even don't like JRPGs.
Yeah, and when you're not a perfect game like Persona 4 Golden, you find that a lot of people might disagree.
A perfect game. Like
it's
Persona
perfect
4
game,
Rome.
But I didn't hear you mention Uncharted 3, so it's kind
of weird. Number 6. Right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
During the auction that jettisoned THQ's assets, Vigil, the THQ-owned studio that did Darksiders and Darksiders 2, didn't garner interest. However, the studio will live on as Crytek USA. Crytek has used over 30 ex-Vigil employees to create its first North American studio headed by Vigil co-founder David Adams. It's unclear what the studio's first project will be.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that they did tell the CEO of Crytek told Kamasutra today that they are not interested in buying the Darksiders IP. Which
because
will be sold.
Greg Miller called it not a really popular franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen.
I'd buy it if it was $500,000 or $1 million. I had venture capital.
I was going to say, like right now? You
no, no, no. I mean, if I was a company, I'd be like, you could do something with this. Owning the back catalog of those games would make you your money back over time.
Do you think they would trade it for a Ni No Kuni Wizards edition?
You're maybe a wizard, Ni No Kuni.
And number 7, final thing on the list. The newest PlayStation Plus perks are as follows. Starting on January 29th, North American subscribers will get Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus on PS Vita for free, as well as steep discounts on Madden 13 for PS3 and Vita, Gatling Gears, Section 8 Prejudice, and Greedcore on PSN. During the month of February, Sony Europe will roll out the following freebies: F1 Race Stars, Quantum Conundrum, Sleeping Dogs, Wipeout 2048, and Lumines Electric
Whoa,
Symphony.
Oh, Lumines! There you go.
So good.
There's a winner.
And I know a lot of people, and rightfully so, I guess, are complaining that Europe is getting much better freebies than we are lately, and it's true. I don't know. You know, PlayStation is dominant in Europe. It's not dominant in North America, and so I'm not super surprised that maybe they're giving them a little something more over there. Uh-huh. But at the same time, people have to kind of understand that publisher relations are different over there. You're dealing with all different people. Some games are not published even by the same companies in those areas. So, you know, patience. Yeah. We've gotten a lot of good free games, and a lot of good free games right now in the game collection. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, I feel like it's still a great service. But I understand people's complaints recently about that.
Yeah, you see it every so often. I think it's one of those things where it works out, where eventually it all evens out in the long run. We get that stuff. They're just getting I always make fun of it. The pronunciation of it. Dakuro, right? The little one.
Dakuro. Yeah.
They just got that. You know what I mean? How long have we had that?
That game is awesome.
Dakuro. Yeah.
That's one of the best games on Vita. Like, hands down.
I like it a lot. It's really good. Everybody should go play. Ben O'Donnell writes into Beyond at IGN.com. I was walking down the street this morning and I heard a person screaming. I ran over to see what was wrong, and there were magazines and flyers thrown everywhere around him. He said to me with tears in his eyes, quote, "Why isn't there one place to go for all my PlayStation game needs?" End quote. If I run into this situation again, what should I say?
Come to the official list of upcoming PlayStation software on all three platforms by the IGN editors. All right. It was a good show. It was a really good show.
It was why we don't do them on Mondays.
So, for retail games, it wasn't on the drop on PlayStation blog, but I do believe Hitman Trilogy came out. It comes out tomorrow.
Hitman!
On PSN, a lot of games. Call of Duty Black Ops 2, digitally. Bayonetta, available digitally. All three Hitman games in the trilogy, Blood Money Contracts, and Silent Assassin, available digitally. Zone of the Enders HD Collection, digitally for PS3 only. I don't think the Vita version's ready yet. Air Conflict Secret Wars, digitally. Heavy Fire Shattered Spear is available. For Vita, Let's Fish Hooked On.
There you go.
Yes. Is available. I'm gonna get that one.
Is it a Sega game?
It sounds like it, but it isn't.
Okay.
Let's see. Demos. Sly 4 for PS3 and Vita.
Ah.
Playing it right now. Almost beat it. Real close now.
The game you're talking
the
about.
The game, yeah. Sly 4. Demo. The game, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm almost beat this demo.
And I'll tell you more about that soon. And PlayStation 2 Classic Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Ooh, your favorite.
My favorite Grand Theft Auto game by
the last
far.
Of the trilogy.
What?
You got 3 San Andreas and
San Andreas
Vice City.
Is after Vice City.
No, I know, but I'm saying it's the last to come to PSN. I'm saying it's the last one to come to PSN.
We'll see you later.
What the fuck?
Oh my god. I quit.
So tired.
Everybody just go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the word on Vice City being delayed for so long and San Andreas coming out was a problem with the music, which isn't surprising considering how fucking awesome that soundtrack in Vice City is. That game is awesome. I love, love, love Vice City.
Why won't they put them on HD console?
I don't know. I have no idea. They don't have to. Because people are going to buy these games anyway. I'm sure Rockstar's a very smart company.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they all sat around, some of their people, their accountants, whatever, and were like, we have to get our games recertified. We have to get all these people to, like, you know, program these things, and we have to up-res them. We can make an extra $10 on these. But if we just put them out as PS2 classics, we'll still sell these games to 75% of the people that would buy them anyway, and we don't have to spend any more money. We just get the ESRB ratings re-upped to whatever, $5,000 a piece, whatever it costs, and put them out the door. And I think that is probably the conclusion they came to.
They're making them for iPad and everything else, though.
That's true.
Come on.
They might not have sold well on those for all we know.
Yeah, probably.
True. They're expensive, too.
Everybody just wants to cut the rope, burn the water. They don't know what the hell's going on.
Burn the water?
Where's my water? All right. Can I make a joke?
It was funny. That's why I was laughing about it.
Right. Let's see what the listeners are saying today.
It was a good show.
Well, as always, let's take us out. Remember, if you'd be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com. This is Alex from the UK. Hey, guys, and beyond. During Greg's recent Up at Noon interview with Emily Rose, Elena from Uncharted, she seemed to genuinely have no idea whether Uncharted 4 is happening or not. Do you think this is confirmation that it's not in development, or at least nowhere near as far as long as we all hoped? You and I talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely in development. But,
I do too.
And I think that you do mocap and voice acting first. So I think...
she's a good actress.
Yeah, I think the game does exist. I think she's in it. And I think she keeps to her NDAs.
She's playing the cards close to her unborn stomach child.
Mm-hmm.
Her stomach's there. She has an unborn child on top of her.
Here's what it suggests. If Uncharted
anatomy works, right? Stomach's like on top of the baby. I don't know.
Right.
There's stuff going on. Very, in there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
No, the baby's in the stomach.
No, that's not right. Go far.
And then you poop it out.
Oh, okay.
So I think that this suggests something interesting. If Uncharted 4 really isn't in development, then Naughty Dog is doing one of three things. They're working on a Last of Us sequel already, which is possible for PS4. they're working on Jack 4, which is also possible. Or they're working on something new, which is also possible. So yeah. I think those are the only three choices if it's not Uncharted.
Here's what I'll propose right now. We'll go around the thing. Are you interested in an Uncharted 4 on PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Eventually, yes. I would rather see them do another new IP right now.
I'd prefer another new IP, but I'd take Uncharted 4.
I'm excited if they're doing it, but I feel the same way. I feel like there's this public opinion right now of just like, another Uncharted already, you know what I mean? And then it is more to be the Vita, you know, Uncharted Golden Abyss sequel.
But it's like such a stupid complaint because it's an amazing game. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm like, oh, great, another perfect 10 game that I'm going to love. Like, no, it's not that at all. It's just that, like, we know these characters so well at this point, and I'm just like, you know, The Last of Us is a perfect example of how Naughty Dog is, like just masterful at creating characters we care about and these, like, amazing worlds and everything. And it's like, just flex that muscle, especially to, like, show off an next-gen console. I would love to see, that muscle specifically.
It would be cool to see something that's just new where they're like, we have another new thing. But I just don't think Sony's going to let them do that. Like, I just can't imagine that Sony's going to be like, hey, by the way, Nathan Drake's kind of like our biggest thing.
And see, this is the big thing about it, though. So I think there's this reaction of Goldfarb, like, maybe not or whatever. But then on the other hand, here's PlayStation 4 and we want to sell it. So here's Drake again doing something cool. But then I was thinking about, I was talking to somebody on Twitter and they asked me, you know, if they brought it back, do you think that they'd kill Elena off? Because in the interview she talked about asking to have Elena killed a while ago, And I immediately said no. Uncharted's too sunshine. It always ends up okay, right? And so if that's the case, then what is even the drama anymore? I think it's one of those things that Uncharted 3, as great as it was, totally kind of showed them that, like, we're never really going to
fuck these characters
over.
I definitely thought they were going to kill Sully.
I was talking to Greg about this the other day. Like, that fucking, that moment at the end where you're like, ugh, like, it's so well done, but they undo it.
And I was I was relieved that they didn't kill anyone off. I mean, I didn't watch the interview. Why does she want Elena? Because she doesn't want
to
do
Uncharted, it. When Uncharted 3 was getting going, when the wheels were starting to turn on that, she went in and asked Naughty Dog to kill Elena because her fear was that if Uncharted kept going, maybe Haven would keep going too. And since she films up in Nova Scotia for 6 months, it'd be really hard to get back here. And she didn't want to half-ass either project, pretty much. So it would be, she wanted to go out on a high note rather than be like, because my fear for Uncharted 4 would be like, she's got a conflict. So instead, it's like, Nick gets a call from Elena. Elena's like, go get him, honey. I got to take care of this, you know, war I'm following, or whatever. You know what I mean?
I think it's almost definite that they're working on an Uncharted game. I could see them working on something new. I just can't imagine with Sony saying, like, we only have five franchises or so that anyone really cares about. You know, Gran Turismo and Little Big Planet and, you know, these kinds of games. And
Starhawk,
right?
Oh, man.
Siphon Filter.
They can't keep those Emmett Graves cosplay shirts in stock, I heard.
But, you know, there's Gran Turismo is their best-selling game, but, like, as far as character-driven things, they have three, really. Infamous, Uncharted, and Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
And you know that Media Molecule wants to walk away from Little Big Planet, but I still don't think they're going to let them. Yeah. And you know that, because Sony owns these studios, and you know that Naughty Dog probably doesn't want to do Uncharted again. You know, we don't know that for sure, but they're probably like, meh. We could do something else.
They're super creative people, though. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, Amy writes all these things, Amy Hunting. And I'm sure she wants to flex the muscle and do something different and tell a different story. There it is. Amy's muscle.
But I think in this order, I think Uncharted is definitely almost certain. And if not, I think it's going to – I honestly think they'll do Jack. Because Last of Us was originally – you know, they originally wanted to do Jack. That team was going to do Jack.
Yeah.
So I don't see, like, how that idea just disappeared. You know, maybe they want to come back and do it again. And then I wouldn't be surprised if there was a Last of Us sequel already in pre-development.
Oh, sure.
And then maybe something new. But maybe that studio becomes three teams. I mean, that studio is good. That studio attracts great talent.
Yeah.
So maybe they can have three different teams. Yeah, David Ballard's he's a problem child. But other than that.
Oh, come on now.
I love David Ballard.
I think it speaks volumes to how free Sony allows their studios to be that we can even have this conversation. Because I think if you were talking about almost any other franchise in this business, it would be like, well, obviously they're making a sequel.
Right.
I think it's interesting that with Sony, they're almost certainly making a sequel, but there is that little amount of wiggle room. So who knows?
I didn't expect The Last of Us to be announced. I thought they were going to do another Uncharted game.
Yeah. Exactly.
So they fooled us.
Yep.
George writes in to beyond@ign.com. Just
Hi,
like
George.
You can. He says beyond.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yeah.
Least favorite Final Fantasy character.
Least favorite?
Yep.
Okay. Are these quick fires?
Yeah.
Can we come back to me?
Kind of against what a quickfire is. Clear your head, answer the question.
If I had to pick a popular character that I just don't like, it's probably Zidane or Zidane or however you say his name, just because I don't have a lot of experience with him. He's the protagonist of 9.
Thank you.
Kid with the open the naked chest and the vest on. That kid?
No, that's Vaughn.
That's Vaughn from 12.
That's Vaughn from 12. Has the monkey tail. He's actually supposed to be like really charming and popular. I just never really played Nine.
Nine's a fine game.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Nine.
Goldfarb.
Uh-oh.
Least favorite BioShock moment.
BioShock 2.
In its entirety.
From start to finish.
Least favorite Mega Man robot master.
Sheep Man.
Oh, no way.
That's a real man, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
Plant Man.
Why?
Corny.
Greg,
but
least
Sheep
favorite.
Man is totally kosher.
Yes.
Least favorite DC Comics hero. I'm going to say Fire.
That's
anybody from the mid-90s Justice League was garbage.
There's a hero just named Fire.
Why aren't you telling
I don't even know because I was smart enough as a kid not
well,
to
let me tell you.
Terrible. Oh, good. Here we go.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to just have the real one out and available, and I'm going to just fact check as Colin.
Fire was, she was this woman from suburban Missouri, which is surprising because that's where you went to school. And she was a school teacher. And one day a terrorist came into the school and burned it down, but it was after hours, so all the kids were gone, but she was there late grading papers because she was a really dedicated teacher. And so so Fire ends up being burned, but she makes a deal. She screams out as the fire surrounding her in her classroom, her windowless classroom. She screams out. She
no
says,
windows.
No windows. She's like in the midst of a big sprawling school. She can't get out of her classroom. She's grading the papers. She screams out in agony.
During
she says,
fire, she's still grading the papers?
Yeah, well, she didn't realize it was happening. She didn't realize it was happening until it's too late.
And clearly, this is just cinder block rooms. You don't know what's happening until it's on top.
The smoke is coming under the wooden desks are exploding in flames and the papers and the cubby holes and
things. Not the cubbies.
And she screams out in agony and proclaims, if whoever's spirit is watching me, if you get me out of this school alive, then by God, I'll do whatever you want. So
whoever's spirit is watching me.
So suddenly the flames are extinguished and the school around her is left in ashes, except for right around her desk, which is just as you had found it the day before, perhaps. And Fire that day was born. Okay. And Fire's secret powers had nothing to do, in fact, as you might expect, with using fire, but rather with standing fire.
Oh, okay.
And so the Justice League would use her to go into burning buildings.
They just throw her.
To rescue
like
children
kittens
and kittens and things of this nature. And so she ended up kind of being boring in the Justice League, and it was eventually written out because they realized that
you're kind of a one-trick pony.
They realized she had no offensive powers, and that she was quite smart. She was an academic. She had a master's degree, which a lot of people don't know about Fire in literature.
Colin, real quick, what is Fire's real name?
Laura Parker. Laura Parker was there. She's 38 years old.
Oh my god, she's getting up there.
The thing about Laura Parker was that she was so dedicated to the kids and so dedicated to furthering her own education that she never actually got married. So she was always just at school, always just grading the papers and doing these kinds of things. And so Fire was born. But DC decided somewhere around 1997 that they didn't want to use Fire anymore. And so they wrote her out of the Justice League.
Can you tell me how they killed her when they wrote her out?
They didn't kill her. She just leaves. What she wanted to do was she went to this other planet.
Unexpected.
Where the kids needed they needed some good teachers. They had just busted the union there, and there was a lot of unrest.
Of course, the union.
And so she went to this other planet to teach, and so she's living a happy life right now. Laura Parker's.
Can I just quickly go over the real? Okay.
What if Clements was like, "You're exactly right."
Fire's real name, Beatrice de Costa, was originally been bequeathed with her powers due to Brazilian mysticism, and was the president of the Brazilian branch of Wayne Enterprises. She possessed an array of abilities, which included the power to exhale vast quantities of mystical green fire. She could also fly, alter her clothing at will, and displayed a limited capacity to project hallucinations.
So you're close.
So it's pretty close.
You're pretty close. Yeah.
Laura Parker.
Laura Parker.
Mrs. Parker.
Oh, that was fun.
Notable partnerships with ICE.
do do do. Nick
writes, God, and Ice is hugging a little baby seal in this picture.
This is why the Justice League of the 90s was garbage.
Oh, my lord.
Nick writes into beyond.ign.com, with the success of The Walking Dead game, the relationship of Lee and Clem is very similar to that of Joel and Ellie. I'm curious if you think the success of such a powerful story, such as Lee's and Clem's, will help or hinder the success of Joel and Ellie's story, and if you think that the same amount of emotions will also be had for these two.
Yeah, didn't we had a something, we had a conversation about this a little while ago. I think it can totally still work because I think Ellie is very different than Clementine, and I think last time we talked about it with Bioshock as well, how the Elizabeth Booker relationship is kind of similar too.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the difference is that, you know, for these two, like, Clementine is totally helpless and you're teaching her, whereas Ellie is, like, spunky. Ellie, like, you know, has some fight in her, and I think she's, you know, she's clearly seen a lot more terrible shit than Clementine has.
It's one of those things, I think, for Lee and Clem, right? They were two people who were normal and then got thrust into this horrible thing and bonded together. Whereas for Joel and Ellie, they are used to this. It's all Ellie's ever known, right? And granted, now we're making all these assumptions based on a few cutscenes we've seen in the trailer here or there.
Right, right.
It seems like, you know, Ellie definitely isn't going to be shaken like Clem is by anything, not be afraid to fight like you've shown. But it also seems like Joel at least immediately doesn't have those fatherly instincts like Lee did. Like, Lee was like, I have to protect this girl. And Joel still seems like he's a mercenary, right? Like,
yeah, that's a package.
He's been hired for this job, get this package across the country. I'm going to do just that.
Yep.
I'm sure that their relationship probably develops.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's what probably maybe even the crux of the game is.
No, but he's going to kill her at the end, man.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Seems harsh.
I hope there's some crazy decision at the end of the game, like, yeah.
Yep.
Where Joel dies or something. And, like, they can't do a sequel. I would love for them to just be like, that's it.
There's, you know, still, that's one our more story. Yeah, I mean, there's still,
oh, yeah, yeah. Or them. Maybe it would be cool to have, oh, man, it'd be so complicated. It's kind of like Infamous 2, but to have an ending that splits completely and there's still another game, but the game is altered, like, completely depending on
what you pick,
what you pick in the first one, yeah. Because that would be the only way Infamous can continue at this point.
Hey, Pete from Toronto writes into beyond.ign.com.
Yeah, just beat the Maple Leafs.
He says, can Colin take some time to explain why he doesn't like playing with others? I'm looking for the origin story. Because we tried to play Borderlands with you. Goldfarb and I were all like, we'll do it.
I would have happily.
We love you. We'll help you, buddy. You want some friends? Here you go. Pretzel crisps.
There's no origin story to it. I'm not opposed to playing with other people. Like, I got the Far Cry 3 Platinum, and I had to play all 6 co-op maps with people online. And thank you to my new PSN friends that helped me. It's not that I don't want to play with other people. It's like, I don't really want to talk to other people though when I'm playing a game.
Sure.
You know, the last time I had the last time I voice chatted, I think, was when you and I played Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime. So that was like 3 years ago.
Jeez Louise, yeah, that was a long time ago.
And yeah, I just don't want to do that. I don't know. I used to like playing friends with, you know, games with my friends, the Mario games or whatever when you were a kid. But to me, it's an experience where I want to play it by myself. I want to play games by myself.
Aren't you more of like a couch co-op kind of guy? Like just like things like Smash Brothers, things like Street Fighter.
Yeah,
like
those
if
are
you
fun
want to sit down
yeah,
and like.
Yeah, I've seen with my own eyes you playing All Stars with Mike Mitchell. So it does happen.
It definitely. I mean, it's we ham it up a little bit, but I mean, it's not something that I really want to do. If I had, you know, like people are really into MAG, for instance, right? Like really people are. I would never in a million years play that game. You know, you have to play it online. Like you have to, you know, really talk with people and you know, strategize and stuff like that. That's just not my thing. There is no origin story to it. It's just like, I would like, you know, I prefer to play games by myself. The market example of me not playing a game by myself is Rainbow Six 3, which was the most played game for me by far that generation on Xbox. I played it in college. You have to play that game with other people. There's a campaign, but you have to play with other people. And I fucking loved that game with my headset. So that was a different Colin, a Colin you guys don't know.
Okay. Final real question before some housekeeping. Chris Bellows writes in to beyond@ign.com. We talked about this earlier, you know, Uncharted Golden Abyss. I think a sequel to that's pretty likely. Mm-hmm. He has a question about that. I'm just wondering where you think a second Sony Ben Uncharted game could go story-wise. I would love to see the story behind Chloe and Drake. I know you love Elena, Greg, but I myself really like Chloe. Where do you think Ben could take the story, and do you have any ideas regarding gameplay mechanics that could be introduced, possibly using the unique features offered by the Vita?
No.
Well, Chris,
yeah.
I think you're going to see more unique features stripped away. I think we all were very vocal. We don't like tracing for reversals of melee moves on the touchscreen. We don't want to be holding it up to no goddamn light.
Just make them 100% optional, because there's some weirdo out there who likes that garbage.
Sure.
And you need to let that guy have his fun.
Yeah.
But
I thought, like, it was one of the things, I didn't use it personally, but like tracing worked fine for him climbing a wall or whatever. Sure. If that's what you want to do, Have at it.
If I remember correctly, I was on the plane to New York when we imported Vitas and Golden Abyss.
Right.
And got to that point with the light and had to like turn the – it was like a red eye, and I turned the light on and I put it up. And I don't think anyone even realized what I was doing. Everyone was like, why am I fucking doing this?
Right.
What? And I love that game otherwise, but there's some force functionality in there that needs to go.
Exactly. Yeah, everything with the back touch, everything with the light. Like, that's exactly what I want to see. Like, honestly, story-wise, I thought it was interesting. I'm not crazy about Chase. I think she was – okay.
I think she's done.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they need to
bring her back.
I think
it's a really good idea, actually, the Chloe bit, though.
Chloe Smart, yeah. Or just, I mean, let it be whatever. I do like that idea, but honestly, the moment when Golden Abyss felt like an Uncharted game was when Sully came in. Sure. And then I was like, yes, this is what I
wanted. But don't you think it would feel that way if we had, like, we already know, the reason Sully and Drake work so well is they had that established relationship. We knew them so well. We already know how Chloe fits into that mix.
Yeah,
she's an established character now after Uncharted 3 of, like, she's part of the gang.
There's something about Sully specifically that I want to be with my buddy Sully.
Goddamn Dorado.
It would be cool to have...
Nate, no!
It would be... That's good. It would be cool to have a story good. Somewhere in between, like...
I can do a Zeke and a Sully.
like Drake in his, like, later teen years and Sully. We saw Uncharted 3, like, him as, like, you know, 13, 12.
Yeah.
And we don't see Drake until his 20s, presumably. So there's, like, story to be told in there, which I think would be cool. With just the two of them.
Obviously, you want to have Nathan Drake on the box. So you frame it with old Drake telling the story at the beginning, maybe one or two chapters in the middle where you play as Drake and then finish out as Drake.
Is he reading, like, a story?
Yeah, exactly.
How I Met Your Mother, Uncharted version.
By the way, speaking of Uncharted and Sully,
it's like the
Far Cry 3 co-op has this character that is blatantly supposed to be a knockoff of Sully. And I just want people to play it and see for themselves. It's like a fat version of
game?
Far Cry 3 co-op. Has a character that is definitely making fun of Sully, like in a playful way. Like he's got gray balding hair. He's got like wisecracks and stuff like that, but he's like got a huge gut and he's kind of like disgusting looking. And he's like a very exaggerated version of Sully. Yeah. You got to see this character, man.
His name is Victor Sullivan.
It's so good. Like immediately when I start playing, I'm like, this is a store brand Sully. And I think that it's totally intentional. It's funny.
Real quick, Francisco wrote in asking how to turn the PvP flag off in DC Universe Online. When you're just standing around, Francisco, hit up on the D-pad, and there it is. Change.
You should let me enter that one.
You can also do the phase shift in the
watchtower. You should
tower.
See Greg and his girlfriend's relationship right now. Just
we talked about this last week. Just deteriorating
before our
bringing us closer.
Huh?
Bringing us closer.
It was funny. I gotta say this. It was funny. Greg ordered pizza last night, I guess, and I was in the living room watching Islanders game. I hadn't seen Christine all day because she was like playing Guild Wars 2 in her room, and then she came out to eat dinner and she was out there for like 5 minutes and then she just left and Greg's like, alright, good seeing you.
Hey, I'm loving it.
I get to play all the nerdy DC universe. Watching this dynamic is so good.
Can you just, I don't know if you're comfortable saying, but where is like the PC set up in your house?
It's in the
bedroom. Like, where, it is in the bedroom.
Yeah, there's a desk.
So you have
a
desk there.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
I just
that's what I was talking about last week. That I sit on the couch, and then there's a long hallway, and then at the other end, at the very end of the hallway, where the wall runs into my room, is she's at the desk.
Okay, got it.
So we can look down the hall and talk to each
but
other.
But all
while
your consoles are
the...
still in the living
room.
Yeah,
mine are out there, and hers are in the bedroom.
Okay, got it.
And there's even a bathroom in there, so she just really doesn't need to come out.
Yeah,
and you have the separate bathroom in the hallway.
In the bedroom.
There's a bathroom in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, what side are you
on? I'm on the right. If you
the one, that's if you, right. I've been in your room before. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah,
for a little while. I was going to say, I think Christine might be getting mad at me now because I make fun of her too much about her.
I don't think so.
I call her a fucking nerd all the time.
Well, no, what happened last time and she got mad about was a misunderstanding because I read a text that Colin sent me, something along the lines of blah, 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 your nerdy ass girlfriend. And I laughed out loud when I read it and she goes, what's so funny? And I'm like, oh, Colin just texted me, blah, 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 nerdy ass girlfriend. She goes, I don't think that's that funny. And I'm like, why not? And she's like, I don't like anyone calling me a dirty ass. And I'm like, no, nerdy, you're playing MMO. She's like, oh, I'm okay with that. I was like, all right.
Dirty ass girlfriend.
Yeah, Greg basically told me that I owed him this much money for utilities and I said to multiply by three. And I won't throw his nerdy ass girlfriend. And give it to me. And I won't throw his nerdy ass girlfriend out of that house.
See, I think it's. I think you're fine. We can all get away calling each other nerds because like you're doing it to then go play. At the time you were playing Ni No Kuni forever. Mm-hmm. That was the thing. Now you're playing other games. But we're all on the same page. We're all a bunch of freaking geeks. And then you got Mike Mitchell.
It's the best.
I'll be on Borderlands in a minute. Oh, shit, it's midnight?
Thanks for that, Mike.
Luke wrote in, too. He said, I thought I would just say that you could just make one long video podcast instead of breaking them up into little things. We could, Luke, but the problem is that we have no one. Here's the thing we found in analytics is that no one is engaged for the entire podcast. You put up an hour-long video, people drop off in the first 5 minutes. So we break up the topics. You find the topic you want. Because that's the whole problem with Beyond, right? Beyond, number one PlayStation podcast. Still, podcast appeal to a very select audience. And not to mention that there's no way for me to put in the podcast description headline, right? That it, oh, we talk about Last of Us here and Ni No Kuni there and this, that, there. And like, it's easier to break out these little videos. You find the content you want.
Yeah, and people obviously still have the unabridged audio version if they just want to listen to that solid hour.
Yeah, I will say, because I did jump into the comments to quell some fears last week. The podcast, just because we're doing these videos, has not changed at all. And the argument I made,
listen to it, yeah, you've
yeah, the argument I made to people, and I think it resonated with them, was would you know that the podcast had changed at all if we didn't show you the videos?
In reference to the fact that we're recording it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's okay. Change is good. This will bring in, you know, our audience is already substantial on Podcast Beyond, but this will bring in even more people, like Greg said, that might not want to sit down and listen to us talk about hypothetical abortions or our...
Frederick.
Yeah, or Frederick Clements's unborn child.
Well, that's coming. That'll be the death of
him on the boat.
So what happens, just out of curiosity, the Beyond prophecy is long foretold that I will meet certain doom on a boating accident following the birth of my half-Indian son, Frederick.
Right.
Yes.
What if I never name a child Frederick? Does that undo the prophecy, or will I?
That's not a prophecy.
Think about it like Calvinism, right? Like there is predestination. Like everything you do is going to be determined already. Like you can think that you're not going to name your child Frederick, but it will happen.
It's going to be Frederick.
It will happen. Something's going to happen to make you name that child Frederick. I'm sorry.
You're going to pick him up for the first time when your eyes will meet, and you'll just go Frederick.
Or it'll be a running.
He speaks to me. Call me Frederick.
He does that. His eyes just go red. For a split second.
I think what happens if I'm seeing it correctly is Neithi has the child. Clements is in the hospital. They're still in San Francisco at this point.
Sure.
They're actually living in East Bay. And Clements is, they don't really know, they didn't know what the sex of the child was going to be, so they, you know.
Because he doesn't believe any of this. He doesn't believe the prophecies.
Right. Like, so Frederick comes out, because Frederick.
But you know, they joke about it all the time. Like, Neithi is aware of this running joke her and Clements have, like, oh, maybe we'll name the baby Frederick.
Right, but what they're going to find out is they're going to settle on a few names, a few male names, and I can't see in the prophecy what these male names will be.
Sure.
But they'll start, you know, calling, like, you know, what's Tom or whatever, what are they called? But when they bring up Frederick, as a joke, because they know that the prophecy has been foretold, the baby reacts in such a way.
You see its eyes glow through his stomach.
That they're like, holy shit. The baby's already out. Why would the baby...
It's two shafts of light.
Wait. The baby's already come out, so the baby's eyes are in its stomach? Well, the baby's name is the least of its worries.
I think Greg just thought it was before birth.
I didn't see that in the prophecy.
Like she's in a tank top, just chatting him. Oh, Frederick.
It's like fire in the sky when they're driving down the road. It's just like all of a sudden,
I don't think they emanate from like shafts of light from the stomach. It's just that you can see them behind. Just they light up for a second.
The blinds commence. Holy shit. There's something about this name. But we'll never get on a boat, and then they'll get on a boat anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
You can't change it. Oh, you can put it off for a little while, maybe, but I don't know.
It's happened. Frederick's on his way. Final email.
And that's why you don't make the entire podcast a video.
Final email of the week is from Julie. It is Hit of the Week.
Hit of the Week.
I spent a lot of time and money on bottles playing SingStar. What does that mean? Spent a lot of time and money on bottles playing. She's drunk. I don't know. A lot of time and money on bottles playing SingStar, and now I'm trying to get the online trophies. I would really appreciate it if you could mention it on today's podcast so that I can get more views on the videos. My PSN name is Princess Pwnage, all one word. Princess, obviously, Pwnage, PWNAGE. Many thanks, Julie. There you go.
This is the Princess Pwnage we know.
Yeah,
we've met this person
Beyond
before.
Fan.
Please wait. I almost forgot the name of the segment.
Hit of the week.
Hit of the week.
What were you going to call it?
PlayStation Hit.
PlayStation Hit.
I'm like, what?
Everyone go pop your SingStar discs in and find Princess Pwnage's videos. Watch them. Like them. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Podcast Beyond. The PlayStation, what are you going to call it?
The PlayStation Hit.
The PlayStation Hit. Episode 277.
It's already happening.
Thank you so much for joining us. Look for information from Colin and I's trip soon.
Yeah, don't you want to know?
Look for news from Goldfarb soon, features from Clements soon.
Yeah, I'll be out next week for DICE, I think. I'll be off assuming we're not doing another Monday episode. Why are you looking at me?
I'm just kidding. Giving her down. I like looking at you. Yeah, we should figure out what we're doing next week. I'll be convalescing on Tuesday.
If we're going to do these videos, we should just move the podcast to Monday.
Why?
That way you have more time.
Oh, but they go up throughout the week.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm never going to have enough time to edit through like
eight of them or no. I'll be on next week if we record on Monday.
I won't be here Monday. You guys are welcome to record without me. I won't be here till Wednesday of next week.
Okay, I'm gone Tuesday through Friday. So.
Okay. Just do it Monday without me. But then we'll pass it off as Tuesday.
Yeah, no one will know.
Podcast Beyond episode 277. Remember, IGN.com is what keeps the lights on. So please come to IGN.com, watch our videos, read our reviews, be part of the community, comment, blog, so on and so forth. Follow us on Twitter. IGN is IGN. Yucks McGee over here is Plum Cider.
Laughing at the baby.
Got glowing red eyes. That name's the least of its problems.
It's like...
And then it's like...
Wait, was that the baby or Clements?
No, the baby.
Okay.
Sitting in its cradle. Yeah.
Sitting bolt upright in its cradle.
Yeah. See, I like it better that when Clements holds it for the first time, its eyes glow red. And he goes, Frederick. And then Clements has the seizure, like, move.
Who had the seizure originally when you were talking to someone who came in and you were talking in first person
for
some reason?
It wasn't Jason. It was, like...
Was it Sean?
Sean,
it might have been Sean, yeah. Am I talking to Sean now?
Sean.
Oh, man, everyone's so confused right now.
It's like, Sean, hello. Sean, are you here with us?
He's in his algebra class.
Yeah.
Exactly. What happened, Sean? Oh, I had to talk to this PlayStation podcast. All right. Follow Colin at No Taxation. Follow Golfarb at Garfet. Follow me at Game Over Greggy. Clements, take me home.
Wait, Greg, are you saying that you want to end the show with a song?
I do. That's how we do it every week.
That's right, Greg. We end every show with a song. And on today's episode, we have a very special guest. That's right. They've magically teleported into the room right after our recording. It's Life in 24 Frames, a Podcast Beyond favorite. And I'm joined by Chris, Alex, Jason, Joe, and Jeff, or as he now prefers to be called, Jeffrey, correct?
Yes.
You have to get closer to the mic. You know, you're not going to be able to be heard by the Podcast Beyond Nation.
I prefer Jeffrey Christian Connect the Third.
Okay, excellent. That's way longer than I thought it was going to be. Chris, how are you today?
I'm fantastic.
You and I are fast friends.
Yep.
We just became fast friends, and then we've just been kept in touch ever since when you debuted. Well, we didn't debut a song, but you sent in one, like, how long ago was it?
Oh, God. It was like a year and a half ago.
My God. Yeah, it's been a while. What are you going to be playing for us today, if you could introduce it? Okay, not. Guess you don't even know.
A song. We're going to play a song.
Yeah, it's a song off of our record that's being recorded at the moment called
Poor
Rich
Flux.
Man. Yeah.
Poor Rich Man?
Poor Rich Man is the name of the song.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
And then are we doing a second song? Maybe? We'll see how it goes.
We'll try.
We can talk about it after. Well, thank you guys so much. How can the Podcast Beyond Nation access your guys' music?
Facebook.
The interwebs.
Interwebs. Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you just Google Life in 24 Frames, you'll get
24
video,
the number.
24 the number.
Not written out.
Not written out. That would be far too long.
Is any of that, well, can't speak, so I'm going to just shut the recording off. No. Can any of you guys tell me if it's on iTunes?
Yes.
Which album?
It is on iTunes. The album we released like a year ago, which is called Time Trails. Time Trails is on iTunes.
Okay, excellent. But that was with different bandmates?
There was quite a few different members. The only members was me and Joe. That was it. Everybody else was not on that
record. Joe, you're so quiet. Do you have any messages?
I was a part of that record, and you can find it on iTunes, and you just type in Life in 24 Frames and spell out 24. No, don't. Put the numbers. That works.
And Alex and Jason, do you guys have anything to add since you've been so quiet?
Oh, man.
Not really.
Alex?
I like this band. You should like it, too.
Great. Well, without further ado.
Just as a forewarning, though, anybody who goes to iTunes to buy Time Trails, it's a little bit different than what you're going to be hearing right now.
Okay.
Because the band's different. The writing structure is different now. So.
You sound so musical with your big beard and your cool hat.
It is a large beard.
It's great. Well, again, thank you guys for coming in. Let us enjoy some. This is the new, I'm going to call it Neo Life in 24 Frames.
There you go.
New Life in 24 Frames.
Yeah.
You can add that to your album.
Well, now that Peter Jackson's shooting in 60, let's okay. just call it life in 60 frames.
Okay.
Go see The Hobbit in 60 frames.
But then you guys would be too realistic, yeah. and it wouldn't look good.
It would look like Spanish soap opera.
All right, let's get to it.
That sounds great.
Awesome.
Count me in, sweetheart.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 2, and up.
Try not to fall into love again. Fall
safe in each other's care. But white lies will live on till the bitter end. On till the bitter end. On till the bitter end. Back to when city skylines in the night were irrelevant. Terrorists where we began. Terrorists where we began. Burners kept the warmth and we settled. Spoke of all the places that we had been. And how we found hands to lend. And how we'd like to go back again. Different plan. When you ran for the bitter end. I hope as the days pass the time will mend. You'll come back to find me a better man.
Sleep halfway through the song. I'm like, no, the lyrics. I'm done.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.